Okay, fine. Well, first of all, what's your name?
Chuck Burgess.
Okay, Chuck. I was trying to get a hold of either Chuck Hickson or Calvin Parker to find out what happened to them. Well, you know, what they say happened as far as being taken aboard UFOs the other night.
Well, now, I listened to the tape that they made for the police department when Captain Glenn Ryder, Sheriff Fred Diamond of the Jackson County Sheriff's Department, when they were trying to break their story, and I heard the tape that they made there, and from all appearances, something happened to them. You know, we all find this hard to believe, but something happened to them. Their description, their stories matched. They were interrogated separately and then left in a room together to discuss it, and it was all the same story all the time. And what happened, the Ingalls Shipyard is located south of Highway 90 on the Gulf here in Pascagoula. And these two gentlemen were fishing from the old Shaw Peter Shipyard and off an old pier there at the shipyard, which is about a quarter of a mile south of Highway 90, which is one of the most heavily traveled highways in this part of the country. And about dark, which would have been about 7:30, this spacecraft, spaceship, whatever you want to call it, they saw it coming about 2 miles away. It had flashing blue lights. It was, our terminology would probably be silver or aluminum. It came down and hovered about 3 feet off the ground. Three creatures who were described as about 5 feet tall with big eyes, pointed ears, wrinkled skin, a pale-colored skin. They had claw-like arms and feet. Came out, and they hovered or floated. They didn't walk. They kind of floated out, and the 45-year-old man, which is Hickson, stood there watching, and young Calvin Parker Jr., the teenager, fainted at this particular point. Hickson said one of the creatures made a buzzing sound, and the other two immediately picked up Hickson and floated him into the spacecraft. And he says, to his knowledge, they brought Parker in also, but Parker had fainted or passed out or hysterical. Anyway, neither one of them knows what happened to Parker. But Hickson says they lay him out. Now, there have been conflicting stories on this, but I think news media has done it, because from the tape, their, I'll say, confession, or what they told the police department, they lay him out, not on a table. They just suspended him in midair with nothing to hold him up except that he was weightless. And they took this big eye-looking object and went over him. I guess you'd say like an X-ray, like you take an X-ray or take a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he stayed in there about 30 minutes. And then, at a command again, a buzzing sound of one of the creatures, they put him back out. And he described the inside of this machine, and he said it was something that, he's a shipyard worker, he's around electronic parts all the time, and he said he had never seen anything like the inside. It was just like daylight in there, yet there were no lights whatsoever. Then they put him back out, and it kind of picked up again. And as according to eyewitnesses who saw an object floating through the sky with blue lights, it apparently headed east toward Mobile, Alabama, which is about 40 miles to the east of us. It passed over the Pinecrest subdivision, which is where I live. I didn't see it, but it passed over the Pinecrest subdivision, and three different people saw it. We've had reports of seven or eight other people who saw something. About 30 minutes before the incident supposedly happened to these two men, Van Cleve, a small community northwest of here, three gentlemen were driving in a car up there. One of them is a parole officer with the state penitentiary system, and two of his companions saw something about 30 minutes before this. And so happened. And Sheriff Fred Diamond and Captain Glenn Ryder, Barney Mathis with the Sheriff's Department, believe these men. They believe what they have been told. Then apparently the spacecraft, or whatever you want to call it, came from the northwest down through the Van Cleve area into the Ingalls Shipyard complex, which is about a half mile from where this happened, and then across Pascagoula heading east toward Mobile. Now, it turned, the people who saw it in Pinecrest said it was moving east, moving forward, but it was turning in a circular clockwise movement as it moved, mm-hmm. which would mean it was going over and over and over as it went, and the blue lights were coming out of the apparently two portholes that Hickson says he saw, and it was just turning around and around. Now, the two men were checked for radiation, and the tests, they were checked at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi for radiation, and the tests were negative. And the two men have stated that they will take a lie detector test, and I just walked in. We haven't had a chance to check the latest happening this morning, but Sheriff Fred Diamond was to call us if anything new happened, so we're assuming that at this point nothing new has been added to the story.
Chuck, you said that we could not get a hold of these men individually because their attorneys advised them to say nothing?
That's true. These gentlemen work for F.B. Walker Shipyard in Pascagoula, and the shipyard's attorney is representing... I'll give you his name.
Well, that's okay. What about the... you said the Air Force is coming in, or what? What is happening now with them, do you know?
No, I don't, because late yesterday afternoon, we kind of wrapped it up for the night, and then this morning, we haven't made that call to the Sheriff's Department yet to find out what is happening.
But you had heard that the Air Force was sending in investigators from California or something?
Yes, when they were carried to Keesler Air Force Base for the radiation test, they again told their story there to some officials, and I'm not sure who they talked with over there, but I'm sure they talked with the commander of Keesler Air Force Base, and they have called in some investigators from the Air Force, and they are based in California. That could possibly be Vandenberg, I'm not sure.
Now, Chuck, you say you heard the tape of the statement of these two men.
Yes.
What is your impression? Do you believe them?
I believe something scared them, because they are... now, they've just handed me a news item that's come in from UPI. They are still scared this morning. In fact, one of the young Parker boy had to have sedation again sometime yesterday. It doesn't say when. But something scared them. And do I believe them? I believe they saw something. And whatever it was has put one of them in shock. And I find it all hard to believe. When I was sitting there yesterday morning listening to the tape, I believed that they saw something. But the further you go, and you're, to me, and I'll say common sense takes over, you begin to wonder. Now, you know, did they? How could they? So, I don't know. I think if I were to listen to the tape again, I'd be a believer again. I know Sheriff Fred Diamond is. He is a believer.
Do you have a copy of that tape, Chuck?
No, I'm sorry. That, I listened to that tape, because of the fact that I didn't believe. When I walked in, I thought it was a big hoax, and I listened to the tape on an unofficial basis.
I see.
The fact that I'm telling you, I shouldn't even be telling you that I heard the tape.
Okay.
But I did, and it's strictly on an unofficial basis that I have heard this.
Chuck, I want to thank you very much. It'll be interesting to see what develops. There's not really much to say, except it leaves you wondering, doesn't it?
Well, it's kind of like Barney Mathis said. Barney is the chief deputy sheriff here in Jackson County. And he said, now, somewhere along the way, Chuck, somebody is going to say, are you continuing the investigation? He said, what do you continue? He said, how do you investigate something like this? As a point, it did not touch down on the ground, so there's no scorch mark, no landing marks, no nothing. We only can take these two gentlemen's word, and remember one of them passed out or fainted, and all he remembers is seeing it and not any of the details of what went on at that time.
How old is the Parker boy?
The Parker boy, it's, well, I'll give you the same age as we have. He's either 17, he's either 18, or he's either 19.
Okay.
Conflicting stories. See, we've not been able to talk with these people to actually pin down some of these things.
Chuck, again, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Any way we can help, let us know.
Great. Thanks again. We've been speaking with Chuck Burgess, who's a news reporter for WCIS Radio in Pascagoula, Mississippi.